Section 3. Identifying good candidates and pre-ECT medical evaluation. Identifying good candidates for ECT is as crucial for success as choosing an antibiotic with the right coverage is crucial for treating an infectious process. The first step is an accurate diagnosis of the patient's condition. Patients with severe depression, with or without suicidal ideations, are good candidates, and studies have shown the efficacy of ECT in this population. Patients selected for ECT often have depression that is refractory to pharmacotherapy or are patients that require urgent treatment. Other indicators that ECT might be a preferred treatment is patients that have depressive episodes with psychotic features and patients with a depressive episode of acute onset. Pregnant patients may prefer ECT in order to avoid exposure of the fetus to pharmacotherapy. Non-pregnant patients may also prefer ECT to avoid pills and associated side effects. ECT is first-line therapy for malignant catatonia and often used for other forms of catatonia after other treatments have failed. Though less often used for patients with bipolar disorder and schizophrenia, it can be utilized when patients are refractory to other forms of treatment. Pre-ECT medical evaluation. Again, there are no absolute contraindications to ECT. Even conditions that are considered higher risk, such as history of heart disease or recent stroke, does not exclude them. Tools such as the revised cardiac risk assessment use criteria such as history of heart disease, heart failure, and cerebrovascular disease to prevent likelihood for perioperative cardiac complications. This tool and other similar tools are not unique to ECT treatment and are used to assess risk prior to any operation. These can be helpful for the patient when weighing the risk versus the benefits. Lab work includes CBC, CNP, as well as an EKG. Patients on diuretics or with conditions that cause electrolyte abnormalities may require serum electrolytes. Pregnant patients need clearance by an OB-GYN. During the medical evaluation, ask about history of skull fractures, traumatic head injuries, or metal implants such as aneurysm clips or metal skull plates. Imaging of the head is usually required only if there are focal neurological deficits. Often, patients will be referred to an ECT provider from another provider who has been treating their mental illness. An ECT provider must conduct a full psychiatric assessment, including HPI and past diagnoses and treatments, in order to assess if the patient will benefit from ECT, or if another treatment modality should be tried first. ECT practitioners must review the medications that the patient is actively taking. Medications that raise the seizure threshold, such as benzodiazepines or barbiturates, should be held at least the day of the procedure, or earlier if they have an extended half-life. Other common medications that could affect the seizure threshold include anticonvulsants that are given for treatment of bipolar disorder. Lithium has been loosely linked to an increased duration of cognitive side effects following ECT, so it should be held the day of the procedure. Because lithium has a long half-life, there will likely still be lithium present in the serum. However, it is not necessary to have absent serum levels of lithium before ECT, but it is advised to achieve subtherapeutic levels by missing a dose or two prior to treatment. Theophylline should be held the day of the procedure and the day prior. Most other medications that don't affect the seizure threshold and don't interfere with general anesthesia can be given. Medications such as antihypertensives, insulin, or anticoagulants can be continued.